Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
The what?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
How do I turn the dial on the show I'm on? I feel like I got nowhere to go.
Truth be told, a majority of the American people would ultimately empathize with our situation.
Jeff Lutz.
The reason there's weaklings is because there's no stronglings.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Everything you need to make it happen.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. I have a new laptop I'm trying to figure out on the fly.
You already got a new laptop?
On the fly. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here to co-host. Things are confusing as the older you get, but I'm working it through. I'm very dedicated to figuring it out.
So you just went and bought a new laptop?
I had a guy come out and bring me one. That's what I do in this.
But you bought it. I assume.
We'll talk about that later.
Why didn't you just fix the old one?
The old one was done.
Interesting.
I had the same issue today with it. I just frozen. Wouldn't let me do anything.
That hurts.
So here I am, going to try to figure out this new one and go on from there.
Good luck.
Do you mean that?
Sure. Why wouldn't I?
Do you care?
No.
Why?
Why would I?
Why wouldn't you care if I had a functioning laptop at home?
That doesn't matter to me, not even a shred of an amount.
Really?
No, I don't. I do not care. I assume that you'll...
If I'm not able to do my job, whatever.
You'll figure it out. You'll take care of it. That's not really my problem.
Wow.
Nor would you make it my problem, nor would I make that problem your problem if I had it.
Well, if you didn't have a functioning laptop at home, I'd be a little concerned.
You know how many times I use a laptop at home? Maybe 3 a year.
You know how many times I do?
3 a year.
That's what you think.
No, it's not what I think. But who cares? We all have jobs, man. We're all working for a living out here. We're all doing it.
How did you develop this attitude?
What attitude?
This completely void of empathy or just you do your thing, I'll do mine, don't care.
Empathy over a
go for it.
Empathy over a laptop that you replaced in 6 minutes? Who cares? Exactly.
Who cares?
That's my point.
I don't care about you.
Didn't say that.
Whatever you need to do, I don't care.
Didn't really say
don't
that
care
either.
If you have a laptop that works.
True, that's true. Yes.
Really? You don't care.
No. I really don't. That would not be a thought in my brain.
Why do I seethe when I hear things like this?
Like, can you imagine caring about that? Like, caring.
For your own father?
No, I don't care if you have a functioning laptop. I really don't.
You know how bad you sound right now? Max, come on.
Name one person.
And tell Jeff just whether this is a valid thing or not.
It is.
Max, do you think this sounds bad?
Well,
give him a minute.
Yeah, you know,
this is something that we got to get. Can we? We're in the 21st century. Max should be able to press a button and talk.
That would help. Maybe he's not listening. He's probably not listening.
Well, he always listens.
I don't know that.
Apparently
to be
not
true.
Now.
It's bad when your own. Producer isn't listening, but what are you going to do?
Well, you may have gone off to talk to
somebody. No. I'm listening. Max, I had to put headphones on. I had to push the buttons in.
I know.
Make sure everything's functioning, recording.
So what do you think of that Jeff diatribe?
Didn't have a diatribe.
you know, he's a millennial, Bob. He can't be concerned. But he's glad you have a laptop, I'm sure.
That's a good way to put it. He's a millennial, and he can't be concerned.
He does everything
on
his phone. What's
he concerned about?
Right. That's couldn't have put it better. Back in my day, if my dad or mom, we didn't have laptops, but if they had an issue, I did my best to help them figure it out.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You don't do that for whatever
reason. I wasn't asked.
Well, I didn't need to be asked.
Well, there you go. I guess
they
were good
my
then.
Parents, and if I could help them, I would. That's how I That's how I felt.
Well, I feel that way, I guess, but I'm not going to volunteer to come work on your laptop. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I didn't want you to work on my laptop, but, you know.
But what?
Be happy I got one.
I'm happy for you.
Boy, you sound just as detached as you could possibly.
About a laptop? Listen to you.
I'm going to ask Denise Neal about it.
Listen
when she
to
joins
you.
Us.
But you have to be hearing yourself, though, right?
Yeah,
you're worried about whether I care that you have a laptop. Can you imagine the hubris that it takes?
Everything that I need a laptop for, you should be happy that I have one.
I don't care if you have one, because I assume if you don't and you need one, you'll get one. But I don't care if you have one or don't. That doesn't cross my mind. It'll never be something I think about. I'll never worry about it.
I can't imagine what the listeners must be thinking.
They're on my side.
Really?
They're thinking Bob has this massive of a self-image that he needs his son to care about whether he has a laptop. Like, that's what they're thinking, and I need you to know that.
No, I think you should say, good, I'm glad you got a laptop.
I'm happy for you.
There you go. No, I'm glad you got a laptop.
Why? Why would I be glad about that?
Because you should be glad.
But why? What does that do for me?
Because now I can function.
I'm happy for you. Does nothing for me, but I'm happy for you.
I don't understand you, man.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
It's not that hard.
I don't think I understand you. I think I'm in a position of a lot of people my age where we don't understand our children because our children are damaged. Our children are millennials.
Damaged.
They don't get it. I've had this conversation with many of my friends.
They're all old and bitter.
Boy, if you're between the age of 30 and 50, you might as well. I don't know what you got going for you.
Really?
You're upset. You're bitter that you think we had it better.
I don't care. I'm not upset.
You are.
See, you're now projecting.
You're upset. You said it on. And your Social Security.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago.
And your whatever. Are you less bitter?
I'm fine.
Does it bother you that I get Social Security?
No, it doesn't. Another thing I don't really worry.
Well, then why'd you say it on this show?
Because it's on this what?
You said it on this show
on
a
this
few years back.
Show, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so it's a show.
Sometimes. Right now, no. Not really.
So you weren't upset that I got Social Security?
No, I could not care less. I'm happy for you. But happy in general.
What about this? Are you happy that I'm making my final house payment in 3 days?
Are you happy?
I'm asking you. Are you happy?
But are you happy?
Are you happy?
Because I'd rather let you dictate how I'm supposed to feel about a personal achievement or benchmark for you.
Why do you need a cue on that?
Why? Because if you were angry, I would try to understand.
How would I be angry?
But I'm asking.
I'm getting my house.
I'm not. But if you were, I wouldn't want to be like, yeah, good job, Bob.
Name a scenario where someone would be angry about getting a house.
I don't think there is one.
Then,
but you're a little different, and
so in your mind, it's possible. That I could be angry
about
getting my house paid.
Of all people who could be angry about that, you'd be in the upper fifth percentile.
What does that mean? What kind of a personality do you regard me as having?
Unpredictable.
That I could potentially be upset about getting a house paid off.
An unpredictable.
You think I'm a nutcase?
No, I just think who knows how Bob's going to feel about anything.
Really?
Yeah, kind of.
That's how you feel?
A little bit. You've gotten better over the.
Nah, don't.
You
fall
have
back
though.
On
you
that.
Have though.
Don't fall back on that. I'm not here for the.
No, you have.
I'm gonna just. I'm gonna make something up here.
There have been things that I didn't really want to tell you for fear of your reaction that you've reacted pretty well to.
Like what?
Like we'll talk about it. I don't know if I want to put it all out there on the.
Well, give me an example. Give our listeners an example.
So when I was...
We're delving into things here. This is what we do. What have you recently told me that you were concerned that my reaction may be a little less cordial than it was.
Well, when I was searching out or looking at the possibility of communications jobs in baseball that would take me out of Wichita, you didn't. I thought you were going to be like, no, you're a moron. No, but
I'd call the moving van.
But you weren't.
Let me just tell you this. I'd arrange for.
So I'm more comfortable telling you things now than maybe I used to be.
Well, but you're not.
Because it feels.
No offense, but I didn't think that was probably likely to happen.
But I still would appreciate the encouragement. Just not even the, yeah, go get it, or just, yeah, you'd be good at that. That could be something in your future. Something like that. It feels, our relationship lately feels more not quite friends, but inching closer.
Do you know how many times my father patted me on the back and said, good job, boy?
I don't need a good job, but I do need a vote of confidence
now,
every now and then.
Now, as he got older and started to realize that he was getting older, he started to soften up. And my dad was never hard, but he wasn't from the era of, I'm going to give this.
He grew up in the Depression.
I'm going to give this kid a boost. I never once questioned how he felt about me. But he didn't. We weren't sitting around the dinner table going, "Man, you're quite a boy, Bob."
Wouldn't it be nice if you could break that cycle of people who are quote unquote damaged?
Nah.
My dad was
not damaged. My dad was one of the greatest men I've ever known.
You don't think his parents did some kind of number on him?
That was salt of the earth type stuff. That family was about as good as it gets.
How are you a good family in the early 1900s? What do you
those
think?
Those my grandfather and grandmother, from all accounts, from me talking to my dad, my aunts, they were Debbie.
They were all just the nicest people
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good. What happened to you? Oh, good grief, man.
All right, on the show today, Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle. We'll talk about food and restaurants. And then coming up at about 5:40 today, we'll have Brett Flory, the boys basketball coach. I'm sorry, I got that turned around. Brett Flory will join us early at 5:20. Denise Neal at about 5:40 today. As we embark here on a Tuesday edition, Max, let's take a break. Come back. We'll talk with Brett Flory from Derby High School. Derby basketball, they are unbeaten, recent winners of the Dodge City Tournament of Champions.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, one and done. This was a hit. The movie Valley Girl, according to Max, a million miles away from the Plimsolls. Never heard of any of it. The movie, the song, or the group. We'll talk about the Saturday Night Live music special that I watched last night. But
is that
right
on Peacock?
Right now we have Brett Flory, the boys basketball coach of the Derby Panthers. They are undefeated here as we get ready to enter February, winners of the Dodge City Tournament of Champions against a really stacked field as well. Brett, hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Not as good as you are, and not as good as your basketball team is. That a big accomplishment. Whoever was going to win that Dodge City tournament, that was going to be a big accomplishment. Just talk about how well you played over the course of 3 days out there.
Yeah, well, first of all, I apologize. I'm about to step on a school bus, so when you hear the roar of the engine, we're about to head up to Hutchinson for a ball game tonight. But it was an honor to be in that field to begin with. You know, the top four seeds out there had a combined one loss going into it, three undefeated teams going into it. And whoever came out on top of that thing was going to have a lot to be proud of. And, you know, both our last two games could have gone either way. You know, we ended up beating Junction City by 10, but the game was probably a lot closer than that score indicated. And then, of course, it was just a classic in the final with Piper, double OT, back and forth affair the whole entire time. It was a lot of fun to be a part of. It was an honor to be a part of, and to come out of that thing with a zero still beside our name in terms of losses is really impressive, really a testament to our kids' hard work and unselfishness and fearless play up there against some great teams.
Yeah, you'd be number one in the net and RPI and KenPom and everything for the schedule you've had, which I don't know if you're surprised to be 11-0 at this point, but I know there were a lot of questions going in about who had replaced some of the guys you lost. And have you ever had a team quite like this where, you know, you're not necessarily relying on one or two guys, but it seems like you get a lot from a lot of different guys every night? And I know it's kind of cliche to say that, but your balance has been pretty key to what you've done. Is that fair to say?
Oh, definitely. It's been a lot of fun. I think basketball is fun when you're able to play that way, where so many different guys contribute, so many different guys have a, you know, a major role in the team. It all starts with some great senior leadership. We've got, you know, five senior starters who are all experienced, tough, unselfish kids. But, you know, off the bench, you know, the final game in Dodge City is a great example. We had two guys off the bench both lead us in scoring with 21, and Avant Riley and Kale Kling hitting huge shots down the stretch to allow us to have a chance to win that game. And so that's really been the MO of our team, unselfish play. And it's a lot of fun to play basketball that way. And I do think we have a lot of weapons, but that doesn't matter if you don't have unselfishness. And that's probably been the biggest thing from this group so far.
Brett Florey, our guest, Derby High School boys basketball coach, unbeaten at 11-0 here as we get ready to enter February. So Derby's had good basketball in the past, but that's a football community. How difficult is it to get basketball on the radar? Not that you haven't. I mean, Derby's been good for a while now. But when you are a school like Derby, which has such heritage in football, is that a hindrance to basketball or is that a help?
You know, I would say the biggest help that it provides is just the fact that a winning culture exists and winning is a habit. And, you know, around Derby High School, really not just football, but all the teams are expected to be good. And, you know, the kids have an expectation to win, and so they're willing to put in the hours and the time and the work, you know, in those summer months and those off-season workouts to be able to win. Nobody around our school wants to be the team that struggles, you know, because so many teams do well. Obviously, football and wrestling in a lot of ways have traditionally led the charge here. At the same time, though, we've worked pretty hard to kind of carve out a niche for basketball here. We try to have a identity and a brand that's recognizable in the community. I think we've done a pretty good job with that. And it's really been cool, though, that the community is just totally behind this team in particular right now. I mean, I had some pictures sent to me from Little Busters while we were playing in the Dodge City tournament. You know, the place was packed for both the semifinal and the final game, and you know, people were just really getting behind this team. And so that meant a lot to our guys. I shared that fact with our guys that, hey, I know it feels like we're all by ourselves out here in Western Kansas, but you know, you have a city that's behind you, and that has meant a lot to our team. So, you know, without question, it's, you know, everybody knows when they think derby, they think football. If they don't think football, they tend to think wrestling. But that being said, I think we've done a pretty good job kind of carving out our own little niche here.
Yeah, tell us about Avant Riley. I think he's your second leading scorer. You mentioned coming off the bench and getting 21 for you. What do you see in him that's made him kind of take that leap? I know he played a little bit as a freshman last year, but to be one of the top guys on the team as a sophomore, how did he make that happen? And what's it like to coach a kid who's like maybe constantly developing? Maybe you're not quite sure what he's gonna do next. He's a young player. How do you kind of mold that?
Yeah, Avant has been, first of all, an unbelievable teammate. There's not a lot of teams that, bring a kid of his caliber off the bench. And, he could easily start for us or for anybody. We have five seniors, like I said, who all are good players as well and have great chemistry together. And Avant has been unbelievable in terms of being a teammate and understanding his role on this team. But yeah, when he comes in the game, he is an offense. He's so skilled. He reminds me a lot of if people watched our teams with Nyjie Wright. Nyjie was a 2017 graduate, went on to have a really good career at Fort Hays State. His game and Nyjie's game have a lot in common, and Nyjie's about as good a player as ever been here, so that's saying a lot for sure. But, I think Avant is a really hard worker. He's in the gym all the time. His skill level is off the charts. And as he continues to work hard and develop his body, we're really excited about not only the rest of this year, but the next 2 years with Avant as well.
Brett Flory, our guest from Derby Basketball. So you're coming off this big tournament win at Dodge City. You're headed over to play at Hutchinson, which is a good team, dangerous team, obviously. What do you say to your players as they're feeling probably as confident as they have all season, but as a veteran coach, that this is a little bit of a game that could be difficult? What's the message to your players?
Yeah, without question, we're really straightforward and honest about it. This is the definition of a trap game. Hutchinson has some phenomenal athletes, is really well coached by Brian Miller. Trail King is a great player leading the charge for them. And, they had some struggles at the MAC tournament, but it wasn't too long ago that team was 4-1 and competing for the one seed in 5A West. And so, we've watched the film. We've tried to prepare on short prep as much as we can to be ready. But, without question, this is a dangerous game. And I think a lot of our league just continues to get better and better. And, there are no real easy games in the ABCTL anymore. There's many years ago, he might not have been able to say that, but, the ascension of Valley Center and, both Mays schools are always good, so on and so forth. It's a challenge in our league every day. And certainly if we're not ready to play tonight, it's going to show. Hopefully, though, with that senior leadership, we'll be able to lean on that and come out ready to go tonight.
Not talking about tonight's game specifically or any game specifically, but are you interested at all to see how this team would handle a loss, or is it more important to just continue to build the confidence and see where that takes you?
Well, we have two goals every year. None of which are to be undefeated. Our goals are, number one, to have the best program culture in the state, and then number two, to peak in March. And, yesterday I had Chip Steven, the all-time leading scorer, come in and Derby history and talk to our guys. And in particular, I had him talk about the fact that his junior year, that Derby team started 13-0, and they ascended all the way to the number one ranking in the state. And the tail end of that season didn't go as planned. They didn't end up even getting to the state tournament and didn't achieve the goals that they wanted to. And Chip kind of talked about that with the guys that, maybe that team got had some issues off the court that got in the way. That team ended up having some, maybe the wrong mindset kind of seep in. And so our mentality right now is that we just have to keep getting better. offensively, we've been pretty good, but we can execute on that end a lot of things. We try to do better. Defensively, I think there's a lot of room for growth with what we do. And rebounding certainly has been a problem at times. So there's definitely some areas our kids know they need to work on. And, you know, certainly you can't ever play like you're trying to defend some kind of record right now. It's still January. It's still time to be getting better. So that when March rolls around, we're playing our best ball.
So, Brett, I presume that you've not had any speakers from the 1973 Derby team that went 4-17. Am I right?
Well, that could be arranged. I mean, that could be arranged. So you just say the word, and we'll get you in there.
Well, I didn't even play on that team. That's how bad it was. So, how bad I was.
Yeah.
Brett, we appreciate it. Best of luck, and congratulations on a very quick start. I like following your tweets because you're all about your players, and that's very cool to me, and I applaud you for that, and good luck tonight.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Brett Flory from Derby High always takes a photo with his players after the games, and I'm a Derby guy.
He's a fantastic coach. I don't think anyone questions that at all.
We're going to have a 2,700-word story on Brett.
In about 15 years.
How many views did that get?
I don't know.
Joe
I didn't
Hour?
Look. I
Why don't you look?
Because I don't really want to know. If it's like 8, then I'm going to feel horrible. But, you know, I think people have shared it. A few put it out there. We'll see. I don't know.
I shared it.
I don't know how far it
Although
got.
Although somebody said they couldn't get to the link.
Yeah, though. Well, that person has a faulty system.
Really?
Because I clicked on the link. It was fine. And
I don't know what to tell you. I did my best. I watched the I couldn't make it for the Iowa State Arizona game.
No,
just saw a little bit of the first half before I went to bed. Didn't see the two-third court shot made by Caleb Love to send it into overtime, and then Arizona won it in overtime. Wish I could have seen it.
It's pretty amazing. Was it tied? Oh, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I was about to ask a really dumb question.
Yeah, well, the three-pointer tied it.
Right. So I was about to ask, was it tied when he made that? But no, it wasn't.
Oh, boy. That would have been bad. Thank God you didn't ask that.
You know, like a grand slam only down a run, but you end up winning by three. You know what I'm saying?
I'd forgotten that the Saturday Night Live music special from 50 years was on. Fortunately, I'd recorded it, and we watched that. Well, unbelievable. Very good.
Have you watched all the documentaries?
No.
There's four out that are a little, maybe more than an hour each. There's one about everyone who auditions. There's one about the writer's room. There's one about the cowbell sketch. There's one about something else. I can't remember. The 80s or something.
Well, we're celebrating 50 years of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, season 11.
I happen to be a big fan. Always have been. Kind of got away from it for a while, but I'm back. I watch it pretty much every week. And there we go. I thought Timothy Chalamet was great.
He was good, yeah.
I loved his Dylan songs. I got to go see that movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Have you seen it?
No. I watched a movie yesterday on Netflix.
Dylan's coming to Wichita.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Hasn't been in 10, 15 years.
What'd you watch on Netflix?
It's called You Hurt My Feelings, I believe. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it.
Is it any good?
It's a very good movie.
Good. We'll look into it. Denise Neal joins us from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. Dining with Denise, her world-famous page on Facebook. Let's get into some restaurant news, although you're covering everything right now. You wrote about Bob Dylan coming to Wichita. You wrote about a building being demolished for an apartment complex. Is your beat changing?
No, Bob, no, it hasn't. But, you know, I've always done more than just dining. I like to write about anything.
I don't remember that.
No, it's true. I always have. Remember when I used to cover concerts?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do, and you did. You covered them well.
Thank you, Bob. And I got to say that you know, one of my passions besides dining has become old stuff in Wichita, old buildings, Wichita history. So when I saw that building going down, you know, it's the one we're talking about there at the corner of Waterman and Washington. You know, when you and I used to drive to work off of Kellogg, we would pass that building every day. I used to look at that building every day, and I'm like, what? I never stopped to find out what it was. So now that it's going away, I thought, what better time than now to find out what it was?
I think we kept thinking that eventually something would go in there, and finally it has.
Hey, quick question,
it looks like
Denise.
It could be cool apartments, or I mean, it looks like it could have been cool apartments itself or something, but the developer has a bigger idea.
My bad. Quick question, and this is sincere. The headline said the building is being demoed. Is that a typical shorthand for demolished?
Yeah, Jeff, I didn't look it up.
Okay, because I always hear demoed. I've never heard that for demolished. Yeah, I've never heard it.
Demoed? Yeah.
Okay, well, perfect then. You did a great job.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a story about Jimmy's Egg, and I was curious about that headline, too, because it says, and I don't know if you write headlines. I assume you probably don't. But a look
I'm
back.
I'm sure she does.
Okay, well, my bad.
I do. Are you
look
to
back at the chains? No, I'm not criticizing it. That was a sincere question. This one is a look back at the chain's unusual 16 years in town about Jimmy's Egg. What has been unusual about Jimmy's Egg 16 years in town?
Are you asking me this because you think your readers or your listeners would like to know, or because you don't want to click?
Yes.
Well, what's been unusual about Jimmy's Egg, Jeff, since you asked, is that they, you know, they've been here 16 years. They have closed almost exactly as many restaurants as they've opened. So I don't know if you'll remember this. I don't know if you're a Jimmy's Egg follower, but every few years you hear of one closing and then you hear of one opening. So I think the franchisees, Wayne Cartman or whoever, is good at just kind of deciding, hey, guess what? This part of town isn't working out. Let's close and try to find another one. So that's kind of weird that they would close as many as they open. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I get it.
And if you
it's hard because
you'll see the whole history of what closed and what opened, when and where.
It's hard because on Kansas.com, they make you like log in like every two times you click on an article. And then sometimes I just don't always want to log in.
Yeah, that quit happening for me, but I don't know when's the last time you tried?
It's been a little bit. I got it.
I got a new laptop, and I can't log into anything. So you could have written about the end of the world, and I'm not going to see it until I figure out how to use this new laptop.
I'll help you if you need help with it.
No, you won't.
What did
you say earlier in the show?
I feel like Jeff's trying to get back at me for criticizing the music snafu by criticizing my headlines and the efficiency of Kansas.com's technical capabilities.
I haven't criticized you once. I'm over here just talking, just riffing. That's all. No big deal. You know I love you.
It's
all good.
I'm feeling very adversarial here today.
Oh, my bad.
Well, Jeff's got that going today.
I'm misunderstood a lot, and that's okay.
Well, maybe you don't come across the way you hope.
No, I understand that, but that's being misunderstood.
Maybe.
The apple
that's
doesn't
still being
fall
misunderstood.
Far from the tree.
What do you got to say about that?
What do you mean? Am I misunderstood?
No, but, you know.
I don't care. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care if I'm misunderstood. I'm too old to care anymore. What else is happening on the restaurant scene?
Well, Bob.
Because frankly, I can't get to your page.
Are you going to let Denise?
I don't understand why
let Denise. Denise
page.
Has got it.
Your laptop is so bad you can't even log on to Dining with Denise on Facebook?
There it is.
Is that what you're telling me?
I have to go to my phone.
Well,
which
you
is
need
fine.
To return that laptop. You need to return that laptop. You can't even get on Facebook.
No, I'll figure it out.
It's a new laptop that he can't figure out how to log into everything on.
Oh, Jesus. That's bad. Okay, Bob. I'll help you someday.
So,
okay,
let me ask you this. We have...
Okay.
This is the worst.
Let her talk!
I am letting her talk.
Okay.
So you wrote about Jersey Mike's, and we've got all kinds of these places in Wichita. It seems like we just got almost so many restaurants that I can't even keep track of them all. How do... How is Jersey Mike's doing against the rest of them? Because I have concern for my old little Subway people. Are they hanging in there?
Now, Bob, how in God's name would I know that? Listen, there are a million Subways in town. There are a million Subways.
Yeah, they're doing fine.
They seem to be fine. Okay, people always go to Subway. It seems like Jimmy. This is only the third. Fourth. This will be the fourth Jersey Mike's in Wichita. One east, one west, one in the middle. So I think they're okay. You know, let's talk about something more interesting, Bob. Did you see that Kelsey Grammer is going to be in town all week?
I did. Right, I did. He's at some brewery.
Right. No, he's at the stores and bars all over town.
Are we that small enough of a town where Kelsey Grammer coming in is a... Like, if he was coming to... You know what I'm saying? Like, if he was coming to...
She's not going to know what you're saying.
If he was coming to Cincinnati, it'd be on page 8. If he's coming to Wichita, it's the biggest deal in the world. Are we that? Are we still a little humble?
You guys, I think maybe we should just abort this call and try again some other time. This is going very poorly.
That was a terrible question.
How?
Because it is a big deal.
Okay.
It's a big deal when celebrities come to Wichita.
I know,
it always has been.
Are you saying,
okay.
You're saying you think Wichita is so big time that when a celebrity who is on TV, an Emmy nominated 20 times, shows up in town, it's just like, oh, just like any other day in big old Wichita. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, are we that? I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be adversarial. I apologize. I'm not trying to be. I'm just asking questions.
Well,
out
everything
of
everything you ask is adversarial.
I'm asking questions out of pure curiosity, and sometimes my curiosity sounds critical, and it's not meant to. And I just want the world to know that.
Here's what I think is happening today: the two of you did not adequately prepare for this interview by looking at Dining with Denise. So you're glancing at the headlines and you're just saying the first things that come to your mind, which shockingly are negative.
Well, I did look, but like I said early on, you wrote about Dylan, you wrote about the building, you wrote about memories.
Okay, well, tell us about Kelsey Grammer coming to Wichita.
No, I'm moving on from that. Let me tell you one thing I find exciting. Now, Wichita has its first ever James Beard nomination. That is exciting. You guys know what that is?
His first ever what?
James Beard nomination. They're like the Oscars of food.
I did see that. George's.
Yes. We've never had one before in this town. First time ever. And that is a big deal.
That is a big deal. And the whole George's thing is a big deal because... Here it is over there on Central, in a place you wouldn't expect an acclaimed restaurant to be necessarily. But
exactly.
They found their niche. They get people to come there. It's extremely popular. They've added a bakery. It's been a little while, but yes, I have eaten there.
I was curious about it too. What are some of their specialties on the menu?
Well, I'll tell you, what George managed to do, which is kind of impressive in my opinion, if you've ever been to France and you've eaten in a little French bistro in Paris, well, he wanted to create that. So, okay, he found a building in a strip mall at Central and Oliver, but if you close your eyes and don't look into the parking lot, you really feel like you are in a little French bistro in Paris, and it's pretty special. The decor, the way he designed it, the way you can open up the windows out to the outside world for the beautiful view of the parking lot. But he makes, some pretty typical, simple French bistro food like French onion soup, steak frites, escargot. He's making homemade bread now. So it's a very charming little thing and something we didn't really have at all. So I think it's pretty special, and I am glad that he got nominated.
And even more important, he was nominated for best restaurant. It's not like this guy's best menu appearance or something like that. He's got best restaurant. That's just crazy.
Now we're vibing, Jeff. I 100% agree.
You were vibing.
Thank you. Very good, Jeff.
Yeah, we're vibing.
Yeah.
Have you been to Georgia?
No, but I obviously need to go.
Oh, my gosh, Jeff, take your wife there for the next anniversary or birthday.
Will do. I'm on it.
It's really
a
beautiful place.
Yeah, I need to take my wife.
You do,
and,
Bob.
And I've been there most often for lunch, only a couple times for dinner.
Go for dinner. Maybe you guys could double date. Both of you take your wives.
Here's what I think needs to happen, Denise.
Okay.
You need to, if you're on the show again, which I presume hopefully you will be at some point.
Oh, wow.
You need to come to the house because we're all just riffing here. We're back and forth. It's not really an interview. It's a, we're vibing, like you said.
Yeah. Well, I would like to, Jeff, because the problem too is whatever the radio station's technology is, my voice is like 2 seconds behind yours. So I say something and you guys start talking over me, then I start talking over you and it becomes a big jumbled mess and your dad gets frustrated. So maybe you're right. I think that's what we should do.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we can make that happen for sure. Denise, thank you.
Really
I appreciate
difficult.
It.
Well, I'm sorry that today's interview was so tense, but I really still deeply care for both of you.
Thank you.
Well,
I feel
love
the
you.
Same way.
Thank you.
Okay.
There's Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com.
I wasn't trying to present.
Well, I can't
as
get,
being
I
tense.
I can't get to my information, and to ask about Kelsey Grammer was dumb. Of course, it's a story.
But I didn't ask about Kelsey.
You did.
I said, "Are Wichitans?"
Yes. And that doesn't demean us in any way.
But Kelsey Grammer. I mean, I love Kelsey Grammer, and I hope he's listening. Kelsey, if you're listening, call. But
what's your point?
I don't know. It's just, is he big enough of a star?
Yes.
To be?
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
What do you need?
His show just got canceled.
So what? He was on two of the most legendary shows in the history of television.
Sure, and one of them just got canceled.
So what?
It's all right.
He's Frasier Crane.
It's all good. What else is he?
That's all he needs to be a big deal in Wichita.
Okay.
Don't you get that?
No, he's a huge deal.
No, don't you get that?
Sure.
Then why'd you ask the question?
I don't know.
We'll be back one more hour.